don't know about you, but I love the Lord. He's been so good to me and been so kind to me, so patient with me. His forgiveness, his grace, his mercies. When I think about the Lord, someone said, and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Amen. All honor is given unto Jesus Christ, our Savior. Grateful again for Pastor Jimerson and this choir and for all of you, my father's children. My wife, Diana, is here. Of course, Christopher is here. We're just grateful for the opportunities that God continues to present that we might serve him by serving his people. Amen. A scripture text this morning comes to us from the book of Psalms, Psalm number 71. From Psalm 71, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Verse 2, deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sacrilege is a word that we use to describe something that profanes God. Comes from a Latin word that means to steal holy, to rob the sacred of its sacredness. And I start out with defining this word because the bulletin contains a title to this message. However, I must tell you it's not the whole title. I was hesitant to share the real title because I fear many would find it to be sacrilege. But since I couldn't get it out of my head, I share with you that the full title of this message is not the struggle to forgive, but it is the struggle to forgive God. And I don't believe I'm too far off when I suggest that for a good number of us in here this morning, that's our real struggle. When I dig deep, when I get really, really, really real, I've gotten over folk at church. I've gotten past folk at home. When I get really, really, really real, I'm mad, I'm upset, I'm angry with God. I might be all by myself, but that's all right. I'm going to preach it anyhow. And the source of our struggle, the source of our issue with God, begins with our belief in what his word says about him. He asked the question of the prophet Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for me? The source of my problem with God is that I know what I've seen. God, I've seen your delivering power. I've seen you deliver men from the lion's den. I've seen you deliver men from the depths of a burning furnace. I've seen you deliver people from the grip of demonic spirits. I've seen you deliver entire nations from the hands of a wicked oppressor. I've even seen you deliver men from the grave. I've seen what you can do when you want to, and yet here I sit. And I know that you see me, because your word says in Psalm 139, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. I know you're omnipotent. I know you're omnipresent. You're all knowing and all wise. And yet here I sit. Done told everybody I'm going to trust in the Lord. Done told everybody my God is good. Then told everybody, God's going to work it out. And yet here I sit. In our text, the psalmist is talking to God. Incline thine ear unto me. The Hebrew implies stretch out your ear. He is petitioning God to hear me. I'm talking to somebody, and you've been talking to God. You've been asking the question, don't you even hear me? I go back to that word we examined at the beginning, sacrilege. Lord, I'm trying to be careful. I'm not trying to diminish your holiness. I'm not trying to diminish your sacredness, but I cannot escape the reality of the moment. You see my situation. You know my frustrations, and I'm sure you've got a reason to allow me to continue in this condition, but I need you to know that I'm about run out of strength. I'm about run out of patience. There's not too much more I can deal with, and I need you to hear me, and I need you to deliver. I wonder if I'm talking to anybody this morning. A moment ago, I made reference to the psalmist. And in this case, the psalmist is King David. Based on references in the latter part of this Psalm 71, many commentators conclude that these words were written by an old King David as he is enduring one of the most difficult times in his life. You know, David has been in trouble before. We remember earlier in his life, he was forced to take flight. He was on the run for a long time. From trying to escape the hands of the jealous King Saul. But these words in our text are written as David's son Absalom is leading a revolt against King David. Absalom is laying claim to the kingdom for himself. The Bible says he has stolen the hearts of the people of Israel. And now, once again, David has to take flight. Only this time, it is to escape the hands of his own son. We titled this message, The Struggle to Forgive God. And the title stems from what I believe about the mind of the Christian. We're in trouble. We're in a painful situation. We're in a dark condition. And when we really begin to assess the source of our frustration, our depression, our fear, our pain, at first we're mad at people. We're mad at the one who hurt us, the one who took from us, the one who lied to us or lied about us. However it went down, we're mad at people. But we also know we Christians. We go to church. We're supposed to be different. We are people of God. And from our earliest experiences with God, we've been taught that God's people forgive. Bible even tells us that we cannot forgive others, then expect forgiveness from God. And even that teaching reminds us that while we're so distressed over other folk, We ought not forget we haven't always been right ourselves. And so we wrestle with our insides. We wrestle with what the flesh wants to do. We turn from the urge to avenge our hurt, and we come to a point of forgiveness of the person. But there is a witness today. Sometimes forgiving the person doesn't take away the hurt. Or maybe there are others who would testify it wasn't even anyone else involved. Some have had to deal with unexpected illness, unexpected loss. Some have had their lives and families turned upside down because you got laid off. Who do you get mad at then? Who do you blame? Who is there to forgive? But yet there is hurt. And then there comes that moment. And oftentimes it happens during a time of prayer. You're praying about the very situation, and the thought crosses your mind. I'm talking to God about my problem, and the truth is, he could fix it right now if he wanted to. He sees me, he hears me, and he could change it right now. I talked to a woman this past week, and she was in one of those situations. Got into a wrong relationship, lost her home, trusted in the wrong friend, lost her money, and now stuck in a bad situation. She says, I know God is real. I believe in him, but I'm ready to throw in the towel and go back to my old life and my old ways. I wonder, anybody ever felt like you've been hurt or at least neglected by God, and you're ready to go back to what you used to be? Friday night would come and you found ways to forget the whole week. Sure, it was temporary. Sure, the problems would be back on Monday, if not sooner, but it was something. It took your mind off of all the stuff. It seemed easier because, as a believer, what do you do when you're angry at the Almighty? Oftentimes, we try to deal with God like we deal with people. We decide, maybe he's mad at me, so let me try to patch things up. You know, there are people who show up at a church, and the very first time they are there, they come down the aisle and they join everything. They had Bible study, they had Sunday school, they usher, they want to cut grass, they want to clean the bathrooms. And when you talk to them, they say stuff like, I'm ready to get my life together. Or, our family is ready to serve. And I hope I'm not coming across as too cynical, but I've been at this thing for 20 years now, and I understand that usually means I'm catching hell right through here. Life is kicking my tail right about now, and if I can make God happy, amen, this message is about to turn around. This message is going to get what they say turned up in a minute. Because we know what happens, because we've all been there. One of two things occur. Either life gets better or life gets worse. Life gets better. I feel like me and God are on good terms, and we kind of slide back to where we were until the next crisis arrives. Because, you know, there's always another storm on the way. But when it gets worse, it's no longer an issue about God being mad with me. I've done my part. Now God isn't holding up his end. What do you do when you're angry with the Almighty? How do I keep showing up at church? How do I keep encouraging my children? How do I keep testifying to my friends? How do I keep from wavering in my faith and in my strength? How do I keep going down on my knees when the truth is I'm in trouble, been in trouble and this all-powerful God isn't fixing it and I'm having a hard time getting over it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And as a believer, I'm afraid to dig too deep. I'm afraid to go too far. Because then I'm treading on that part about sacrilege. Because when we're angry with God, when we even speak about forgiving God, we are in fact questioning the very character of God Almighty. And that can be a dangerous proposition. And here is where the message turns, because as the prophet, I stop by to tell somebody that's exactly where God wants you. You see, most messages I preach are fairly simple in form. I talk about who you are, I talk about who God is, and I talk about who you are in God. And for those who believe in their minds that if I could just make God happy, if I could just make God pleased with me, I wonder how it would change their view of themselves if they ever found out he already is. I wonder, somebody, do you know that God loves you just the way you are? In other words, do you know that if God could make you all over again, he would make you exactly the same way? He didn't make a mistake when he made you, and he hasn't made a mistake in caring for you. I read a book by a dead Chinese preacher named Watchman Nee. He wrote some words I've never forgotten. He writes that the biggest problem with the average Christian is that he is trying to enter a room that he's already in. We're trying to work our way into something that God says, you're already here. Oh, I know I'm right about it. Regardless of your situation, don't ever forget you've been chosen. And I'm remembering Job. With every calamity that befell him, it was God who threw his name out there. I'm remembering the Apostle Paul. With every night in a jail cell, with every moment suffering under the crack of the whip, it was God who stopped him in his tracks and told him, now you're my vessel. And even remembering this King David of our text, he was nobody. His own family couldn't believe he'd amount to anything. Oh, I wish I could sing, Sister Jones, because right now I'd start in with, they said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today. They said I wouldn't amount to anything. But it was God who picked him out and declared him to be royalty. Amen. And David faced great trouble in his life, running from Saul, caught in adultery that resulted in the loss of a child. And now in his old age, he's running from his own son. And in the midst of his troubles, faced with losing everything the Lord had given him, David writes Psalm 71. And it's not a song of discouragement. It's not a song of defeat, but it is a song of declaration. Might be in trouble now. Been in trouble many times in my life. Failed God and his people greatly over the course of a lifetime. But I don't have a problem with God. In fact, I sing unto God. In thee do I put my trust. And that word trust comes from a Hebrew word that means refuge. God is where I seek my refuge. I'm trying to help somebody today. God's got you. God has covered you. Don't get so fixated on your condition that you forget it is God who is keeping you. Amen. I'm thinking of another song David would sing in Psalm 124. He said, if it had not been for the Lord who is on our side. I'm thinking of another song that David sang. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I wish I could sing. If I could sing, I'd start in with, I am a living testimony. should have been dead and gone, but the Lord let me live on. Somebody is a witness today. When you were at your lowest, God was there. Enemies all around, God was there. Depressed and down, but God was there. Pain in your body, pain in your soul, but God was there. And even when it seemed too much, when it seemed like he wasn't moving, when it seemed you were left all by yourself with no one to turn to, God was there. And if you can't get past something, just know you're holding on to something that God has already worked out. David says, let me never be put to shame for trusting you. He says, rescue and deliver me in your righteousness. He says, hear me and save me. Maybe you're like that woman I spoke with this week. You believe in God, but about ready to throw in the towel and go back to what you were. But before you go there, remember, God saved you. If I added up all my issues, including the ones of my own doing, if I added up the nights of distress, if I added up all the frustration and stress, pain and sorrow, when I finish counting it all up, God invites me to look again unto Calvary. He says, if you're struggling to forgive me, look what I did to forgive you. God says, if you ever wonder what I think about you, look upon the cross. That's my son, and his name is Jesus. I gave him for you. He died so you wouldn't have to. He paid what you could not pay, because I want you and I'll take you just as you are. And if you ever wonder what I can do, look inside the tomb where they laid my son Jesus. And you'll see that it is empty. For you, I've destroyed every enemy, including death itself. If I could sing, I'd close out with this one. Nobody told me the road would be easy. But brothers and sisters, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. God bless you. Amen and amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Did not our hearts burn within as the man of God proclaimed the word of God? Thank God that he forgives us of our sins and create within us a clean heart. Crystal, would you please come and lead us? Can I ask you a question? Did not the man of God preach? Was not our hearts moved by the preaching of God's holy word? Someone is sitting angry with someone, angry with themselves, angry with God. But God says to you, I have forgiven you. You are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. I have made a way for you. All you have to do is accept my plan for your life. If you're here and you do not have a church home, you're living in this city, Second Baptist, the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist, will welcome you. You may work out your soul salvation here, and you may help us as we help you. The church is standing. You may come by letter, by Christian experience, candidate for baptism.
But we'll wait your coming. Come
to the one who forgives.
To leave me.
I don't believe it brought me this far to leave me. Father, I don't. Lord, I don't feel no waste time. No.
Walk, Deacon.
You brought me too far from where I started from. Nobody told me, Lord, that this road would be easy. I can't believe you brought me this far. I know you didn't, Lord. I don't believe you brought me this far, Jesus. I've come too far in your name, Lord. I don't. I don't believe you brought me this far, Jesus. I don't believe you brought me this far, Jesus. I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
How many of you have come this far by faith, believing that He has not brought you this far to leave you? We've come this far by faith. Come on here. Let's have some church.
Well, we're trusting in.
Trusting in this holy word.
Said he's never.
Amen. Yeah.
Church, we say, oh. Oh, Lordy. Said I can't turn around now.
We've come this far.
Well, we've come this far by faith. Said, and we're leaning. Said, we're leaning on the Lord, and I am trusting. Yes, I am. Oh, because I know that you never. Oh, can't turn around. No, we've come this far.
The song says, just the other day, I heard a man say that he didn't believe in God's word. But I can truly say that the Lord has made a way. We've come this far by faith. As we go from this sanctuary, we go remembering Mrs. Erdene Crum in prayer. Mrs. Crum, Brother Lewis Sanders passed in Mobile and they're planning the service. Mrs. Crum will be going to Mobile to put her brother away. And so our prayers are with Mrs. Crum. Thank God for her faith. Thank God for her trust in him, even during these difficult times. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Come on, help me, church.
In the Lord, I will trust in the Lord until I die.
I'm going to treat everybody right.
I'm going to treat everybody right.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord God be gracious unto you. Lift his countenance upon you. Give you traveling grace and mercy, peace, his companionship be with you now and forever. In the precious name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God said,
I'm going to trust.